Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Oh, my God.
Robin, you are so close to that car.
Welcome to ovaries could talk. It is our ovaries on the run episode.
We are in the car. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
We are on our way to our guest.
Oh, my God. We are driving to
Robin
see.
Robin almost killed us.
I am doing the best I can. I am doing the best I can.
We are trying this whole recording in the car thing out.
It's been an interesting journey so far.
But,
you know, the good thing is, here's what we discovered, that Jamie and I both have the same sensibility when it comes to driving.
Yes.
That we both believe that tailgaters should be burned at the stake and that our wives are bad drivers.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that.
I said
and,
it. I
and
said
you're
it.
Driving this crazy.
Mary's a bad driver.
And a great driver.
I still love Mary.
She just gets a little close sometimes.
Yeah, she's just, she gets close to the curb or the side rail. Like she doesn't have spatial awareness.
Right, right. Anne gets a little close to the cars in front of her sometimes. Not all the time, Robin. Sometimes.
Yes. Well, so we're in the car. We're driving to Sarah-Kate Ellis and Kristen Henderson's house.
And for those of you who don't know.
I mean, I don't know how you could not know them.
It's big. It's huge. Sarah-Kate Ellis is the CEO of GLAAD.
I mean, G-L-A-A-D. The CEO of GLAAD.
Robin, tell us a little bit about GLAAD.
Oh, my God. They're like a powerhouse organization in the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know them, you better look their asses up immediately.
They're rewriting the narrative for LGBTQ people.
You just made that up.
I think
is that
I
their new
it.
No, is that their
actually,
new tagline?
I read that somewhere.
Oh wait, I think I got an exit here.
Oh my god! Yes, I think we're going all over. We are.
We're probably just like circling near their house.
We definitely are taking a circle.
Okay,
right
but
now.
It's by the way, it's not just Sarah-Kate Ellis.
Oh my god!
Her wife is a powerhouse in and of herself.
My god.
Her wife is Kristen Henderson of Antigone Rising.
Antigone Rising, guys.
Like powerhouse lesbian band.
Band.
Wait, where am I going?
I don't know.
So we just thought, let's bring you guys with us as we go to their house, because why not?
Why not?
But before we get to the episode, I do have to say, we have a new Patreon supporter.
We do.
Her name is Vanessa Haas.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Vanessa.
Thank you for supporting us.
Vanessa,
we love you.
And if you want to
join our
Patreon community and friends like Vanessa, you should join us. We've got all kinds of extra content there. You just have to go to patreon.com/...
If these ovaries could talk.
No, / ovaries talk.
Yeah, I knew that.
she
I'm
didn't
in the car.
Know that.
I'm distracted. There's pretty things.
So that's a Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And then also...
afterwards, you guys have to stick around afterwards. We have an update for you.
Yes.
From our old friends, Tiff and Carissa.
Yeah, so at the end of the episode, stick around. We have an update for what's new, and you're not going to believe it.
They have, and
for those of you who don't understand, season 3, we followed Tiff and Carissa on their journey to get a sperm donor, to try to have a baby. Well, they have another right turn
another
in their
one.
Baby plan.
Another one. These
I mean,
girls.
These girls bring out the mother in me because I'm just like, oh my God, what are they doing?
Oh, here we go. Here we go with Tiff and Carissa again. So
that's at the end of the episode.
So tune in for the end. And, you know, this is going to be, you guys, I wish you could see this cute little town. We're going to take some pictures.
All right. So wait, no, Jamie, we're here.
Oh, we're here?
We're here. All right. Oh. We are here.
Oh,
so
my God.
Okay.
So cute.
Okay, we're going in. We're
okay.
going in.
Okay, bye. I mean, here we go. We're here on location.
We made it to Seacliff.
Obviously, we're in a different town, Seacliff.
Because we drove and we didn't die on the way here.
We almost did.
You're in the 11579.
11579. It's like 90210, 11579. What's the song?
Jamie's going to, there she goes. But so we,
yes, we have some iconic lesbians. We are at some iconic lesbians' house.
We really are
iconic.
You are. It's amazing. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah,
thanks.
Exciting.
Thanks for calling us iconic.
But you kind of are, though.
You are.
Oh, that's nice. That's very so.
Every lesbian knows GLAAD and Antigone Rising.
Oh, that's, you know, I'm finding that to be a little more and more the case, actually, which is sort of nice. It makes me feel like my life's work was not in vain.
It's not in vain.
It seems like,
Kristen?
Or anyone, like somebody will say, what band are you in? And it'll be a guy. And I'll think, he will definitely not know, a straight guy.
Oh.
He didn't know Antigone Rising. And I'll be like, oh, Antigone Rising. He'll be like, oh my God, my lesbian sister loves your band.
There you go.
So there the lesbians go. At least are even telling this.
They're sharing your music.
And also though, there's our neighbor across the street in the new house that we're moving to. He was like, I know every single Antigone Rising song.
Oh,
I'm
my
a
God.
Huge fan.
Oh my God, like, he's never going to leave you alone.
Yeah. I was like, that's so great because we're moving across the street. And if we have any dead mice in the basement, I'm going to
call you.
And then
you're
he's going
to
be like,
we call the
can you get me
things.
A discount on the Melissa Etheridge cruise? That's what he's going to be saying.
Yeah.
So we start usually every episode off, I don't know if you know this, with the elevator pitch about who you are and your family, about your family.
I would say our family is rooted in the idea of living with a purpose and that we try and model that as parents. And so our whole view on this world is that we live in a tiny, tiny town that you're in, but what we make sure the kids understand is that this world is global, that we're all global citizens. And so we travel a ton. So one of our markers as a family is that we take a trip at least every other month to somewhere. To see, to do, to participate. And I think that we try to instill in our kids that we're here in service of others and a larger purpose.
Wow.
That's Jamie, we're not
making us
we're not
like
doing
bad
that well.
People.
We're
right.
not doing
yeah. totally.
No, Kristen's like, I had no idea.
She's like, is that our mission?
I was thinking, is it every other month? You know, I mean, the reality is, you know, with Sarah Kate's job, we have access and are able to travel with her because of that. I mean, we realize that that's a privilege. I think Sarah Kate does too. So we have access to events and things that we're able to attend
it's
and
amazing.
We don't take it for granted. And I don't think the kids may not realize, I think on
they
a
have
level
no perspective,
they, right. But I do think on some level they do realize.
They get it.
And what I love about our kids too, is that it's just, I mean, I get that most kids too nowadays in general are much more, you know, they just roll with it. It's like, oh, you have two moms. You're so lucky. Like we get that a lot.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think even in the community with like, we have some trans kids and it literally doesn't even, you know, like Thomas and Kate, you know, when there's a kid who, you know, is transitioning, it doesn't even phase them. It's so easy for them to even explain it to their friends who might feel confused about it.
Right. That's
you know,
great.
Or there was one time where Thomas was walking home with a boy friend of his who said to him, Thomas, they literally are having this conversation. Well, maybe you're a girl inside, you know?
Really?
And he was like, oh, yeah. And Thomas was explaining to him what that meant.
That's amazing.
And you could actually, I could hear the relief in the little boy's mind, whether he's trans or not, however that worked out.
Yeah.
It was like Thomas was saying, you know, it's okay because maybe you're a girl.
Oh,
that's really
like,
great.
Yeah, maybe I am.
Right.
And then that's that. And
well,
then
you know, that but story I, ends. You know, but, I mean, I think it's idyllic on one level and then not so idyllic. I mean, there have been moments where our kids are playing with other kids and they'll say something really nasty about being gay, you know?
Yep.
And I've had that reported back to me. And it's really interesting the way that Thomas actually reported it. It was like a bunch of real you know, the athleticism in the schools starts very young, and that sort of determines pecking order.
Right.
And these kids were the big athletes, right? And so they were like, you're so gay or something like
that.
Right.
Yeah. Not and to Thomas, but in general, they were using that as like, an expression.
As a derogatory
term.
And so Thomas came home and he was kind of sad. And I said, what happened? And they said, well, they made fun of your work.
Oh. That's so interesting. He said your work, not your family.
Yes.
So fascinating.
And I couldn't like, I was like, my work, what do you mean?
What about my work?
Yeah. So then we got there, but I thought that was really fascinating.
How old was he? Was it recently?
Yeah, it was nine. Was he even, he might have been 10. Yeah, he's 10 now.
Yeah.
And well, the interesting thing too is it was Thomas and Marco, who's one of Thomas, Marco's like a brother to Thomas, and that's Nene and Brooke's son. And Nene's the lead singer of Antigone Rising.
Right.
So Thomas and Marco are growing up together, and they're 10 months apart, but they happen to be in different grades because of that. So anyway, so Marco was there too. Mm. And Marco, as
at
far
this
as
incident.
Athleticism goes, he's definitely high up in the pecking order.
Yes.
He's a jock for sure and a talented one.
Oh.
And he went home and reported too. And he said, you know, this one kid said that there's that, you know, he doesn't let any gay people in his house or something like that.
What?
Oh. And so... You know,
they're
you
just,
know what?
They're goading each other.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, if that particular kid, I don't even think he thinks that. I know his parents. Like, it's a small town.
Yeah.
But, like, the things you do in that moment is you have a choice, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he went home and told Nene, and Nene just went right over there.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Ooh. And she spoke to the mother, who's a friend of ours. And
right.
I was like... She's going to be mortified that he said that. These kids say things. They don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
And she needs to have a conversation with him because I think a lot of these kids don't even realize. They're just saying things that they hear from someplace else. And they're not even putting it together that they hang out at our house all the time and we're lesbians.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right. No, because you're just you're two individual people.
And they love us. Yeah. You know, these are these kids are kids that we love, you know, who I'm keeping an eye on in my community. And I know – so – if you can stop it now, you know, and let them realize, oh, right. God, I didn't even realize Thomas's moms are gay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But I've had that conversation with girls in our car, dropping them off at theater practice, with our daughter. They're all going to theater practice and they're saying,
You call it practice.
Rehearsal, I guess. And, they were talking about how at camp, one of the boys was calling them lesbians and they were saying, we kiss each other or something like that. And they didn't, you know, I'm hearing it and I'm thinking, wow, they don't even realize. And I said, well, you know, if you, even if you were a lesbian, it's
okay.
Not, it's not like you can say to him, so what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So what? We're lesbians. Or so what if I'm a lesbian if you were? I said, you know, I'm Kate's parents, moms are lesbians.
Yeah.
And I said, and you know, I'm about to drop you off a play rehearsal and you know, Chris and Steven, who are running the whole show, are gay. They're married to each other.
Right.
So, you know, know and love a lot of gay people.
Yeah.
Well, this is a theme that comes up a lot that we realize, like, once you have kids, the outing never stops. And it's like your responsibility to model outing to your kids so that they're not ashamed.
Being out as a family.
Being out as a family. It's a whole thing that comes up with us. And it's sometimes hard to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
We didn't introduce your actual family makeup.
I know. Can you tell us about that? Sure. How'd that happen? So you guys bought a house.
You wrote a book about this, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
You're totally right.
Tell us the name of the book.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? I like the title.
The book is called Times Two.
Times Two. Yeah.
Two Women and the Happy Family They Made.
Yes. I see just a heart around it.
Yes. Yeah.
Love.
It was nice. There is. It was basically about our journey into becoming mothers. Uh-huh. And Sarah Kate and I got pregnant at the same time.
Whoa.
How'd that go?
Actually,
What?
On the same day.
Oh, it was really?
Not what? Planned.
It wasn't
it was
planned?
Not planned?
So, what was the plan?
Yeah,
the
what
plan
was the plan?
Was that I was supposed to get pregnant.
And then you were I'll give it a go. This looks comfy. I mean,
no, 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 no. And then she was going to go after we had our first baby.
That's we'd how my wife and I did
baby
it.
Baby number
she
one.
She went first. I went
and
second.
And then we'd have baby number two and sequence it and have a breather. And I tried for a year and miscarriage and, you know, nothing was going right. And one of the reasons I was selected first in our family was because Kristen was touring a lot. So, you know, trying to get a schedule together and, you know, for IUI or IVF is like hard enough. And
it's
then to have travel on top of it. So she came off tour. And at that moment in time, I just come through a miscarriage. And once you have a miscarriage, I can't remember exactly because you kind of block it after it's all over. You have to wait a certain period of time.
Yeah, right. One cycle or something like that. Yeah.
And time is, you feel like the time is of an essence. There's always a ticking clock and nothing's working out. So we decided to both try. I was like, you know what? We have two ovens. We're looking for a bun. Let's go. Let's go to town.
And was this IUI, IVF?
I did IVF and she did IUI.
Ah. Well, when we finally got pregnant, you did IVF. You were doing IUI.
Yeah, this was my first try at IVF.
Okay.
And so it hit on the first time, and we literally, it was Memorial Day weekend, and our Memorial Day weekend was spent in New York City. We lived in New York City going to, what was the name? RMA.
Oh, that's where I went.
That's where
I
went.
Yeah, RMA.
We probably saw each other in the lobby. Right? Our kids are the same age.
So, yeah, so we started at the same time, and then we got pregnant that weekend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
On the same day.
Oh, my God.
It was nuts.
I was on my fourth IUI.
Oh, this was your fourth. Oh, so you had been, I was thinking you got it on the first try.
No,
you have like a magical uterus.
I was on
my
fourth IUI, and they had me on Clomid, and I was a raging
me too
maniac.
It took me a really long time to get pregnant. I took every single drug there could possibly be, and Clomid, I was a crazy person for 2 years.
Yeah.
For the time it took me to get pregnant.
When I was on Clomid, Kristen used to say, I walked in the door from work, and I looked rabid.
Yeah, I looked like a rabid raccoon.
And I would just, and she would be like video games with our best friend. And I was like, is this all you people are doing all day? I would just
and it
go,
was. Yeah. Because the band, we would be on tour. And then when we're not on tour,
yeah, you're like, what else is there to do?
Right. I'm not working now just because you work a certain set of hours every day. I work a month straight.
Yeah.
And then I'm off for a
and
month.
And then I'm playing
straight,
video games.
And I'm playing.
Yeah, as
Grand
you
Theft
do.
Auto with Liz.
As you should.
Yeah,
as you should. So, okay, so you get pregnant on the same day.
Yeah.
Now, how did that feel?
Well, we found out I was pregnant.
I found out first because I was IVF.
Sure. You find out sooner. 10 days.
Yeah.
First 14 days.
Yes. Yes. And so for those, so I was, we were really happy because we figured, okay, this was, we got a baby. We're getting a baby.
Well, we found out Sarah Kay was pregnant.
Yeah.
We were obviously ecstatic that she was pregnant.
Kristen, did you have any inkling that maybe you might be pregnant?
I thought I was not pregnant.
Okay.
You just figured it was in there. It's like,
yeah.
And I forgot. I kind of forgot.
Because you're so wrapped up in the IVF.
Yeah.
The IVF, you put all that money into it too. So it's like.
You're giving her shots.
Yeah, the whole thing.
It was really intense. And then we had had that, she'd had a pretty late miscarriage too. So that was devastating.
Yeah.
When we found out that she was pregnant, it was like, thank God. And, you know. So we forgot.
So you
I
had
was
like
pregnant.
So Sarah Kate had like 4 days to bask in it,
and then she was like, "I'm going to, I'm getting my period."
I
and
could
she
feel
went,
it. I was so crampy. Oh, I was like, "Oh, my period's coming." But I guess
she went
I was
to the
late.
CVS or whatever it was.
But
no, you went to the CVS.
Hold on.
Okay.
I was late, but I didn't realize because RMA called me and they're like, "You need to come up for a blood test."
Oh, because you were just like,
I was like, "I'm not." I was like, I don't want to. And at that point, too, we had been up there so many times for the past year and a half.
Right.
Like
always in that waiting room.
And it's on like the Upper East Side.
Such a pain in the badoobies.
And they'll let you rot in that waiting room.
And the waiting room is so, for people who have never been to a place like RMA, the waiting room is so big that it extends out to by the elevator.
Exactly. Yes.
Times where you're sitting in a chair across from the elevator and it's like, bing, and you're and people are crying. And then maybe it's awful.
I was like, why do I need to go up there?
Yeah,
for them to and I
to
hate
tell me I'm not
blood.
Pregnant,
I,
right?
I can't stand it.
Me
so I was
too.
Like, I do
or
not need
Kristen
to go up there.
Kristen H. Kristen H. Please come back, Kristen H. Yeah. I always felt like I was at AA. I was like Robin H. Please come back.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So I didn't need
back.
To go
right.
to, for them to tell me I'm not pregnant.
Right,
sure,
right.
was my mindset. And I was like, I'm going to get my period tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew I was like a little bit late, but I was like, big deal.
Right.
Like, they're just going to tell
so
me I'm
funny.
Not.
You guys came as close as you can get as a lesbian couple to being accidentally
pregnant.
Right.
I always
That's
say
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
I always say we accidentally got pregnant.
So I did eventually one night after RMA called and said, you need to come up tomorrow morning to get your blood drawn. And I was like, So I was like, I'm just going to go downstairs to the drugstore. And I'm going to buy, I ended up buying, I mean, the checkout person must have thought I was nuts. I bought one pregnancy test because that was another thing. I was sick and tired of spending money on sticks.
Yes.
Oh, they're
yes.
I know, they're so expensive.
So
much
racket.
To pee on it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not buying another $75
so
box
expensive.
Of pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
So I went and I like bought one stick and a box of tampons because I was like, I'm either. And I literally felt like when I was walking in the CVS, the reason I bought the box of tampons is because I was cramping and I was like, I'm getting my period right this second.
It's happening now.
Yeah. It's happening right now. So I need something for my period. We don't have anything at the house. So I bought a box of tampons and one pregnancy stick. And I went to the bathroom and I was surprised to see I didn't have my period. I peed on the stick and then I was like, I'm pregnant.
Oh my God.
Right? Shit. Mm-hmm.
What happened? What I want to see the scene.
Yeah, what was the moment like?
I can remember that bathroom, too.
I want to see it. I want you to paint the picture.
Sarah was standing in the doorway.
Yeah.
I'm on the toilet.
Yeah. And I was
a little jealous. I mean, I think, you know, I had been through a really rough relationship before that I wasn't recognized as the other mother, even though we did go through the whole process together. Up through picking the donor together, me buying the donor. And because we weren't protected, because we had no rights, it could have been a really long, drawn out legal battle that I didn't think was going to benefit the child that was in play. And so
it sounds awful,
but it's like, I just wanted something for myself, that I knew couldn't be taken away.
It took you to that fearful place again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when we realized that she was pregnant too, I thought, can I just have a minute?
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
But that lasted literally maybe 24 hours because they're not comparable situations at all, but it is definitely, I'm sure, was a trigger.
A trigger, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I was elated.
But
for a minute, I was like, I just can't. It just be. It was always not about me,
right?
Yeah,
and so there was a minute of that,
and especially back then too. The band was higher profile. I mean, not that we're not now, but we were. You were just working like at Time Inc. and it's always about Kristen.
Oh, well, it's always still always about Kristen.
It's
and that's great because I don't really like to be.
She's the performer.
The point is,
she is.
There was
a lot, you know, and people were always, you know, well, Kristen and her wife.
Right.
And so it was like, ugh.
I like being the wife. Yeah. I have no problem with that. It was
the wife, too. Which I am now. A lot of the time.
I think you guys are really on par with each other.
I mean, you're
other.
Both really high profile.
High profile.
I don't even... But it was more about the child, you know, in that moment. Not about profiles.
It's not really.
It wasn't for me about a profile. Yeah.
Before I had a baby, it was not about the child.
How can we leverage this? Right. How can we leverage this?
No, it was really just. So anyway, so that was the real response at first. I was like a little sad.
I like that you're being raw here because these are valid feelings. I had crazy feelings when my wife was having our first one. I had all these feelings of inadequacy.
Yes, you're left out.
I'm not going to be a part of it. And I wanted to be the one to be pregnant. And I wanted to be the one, you know.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff that comes up for us.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah. And
we had a fight. No,
we didn't have a fight at all.
So we both started slapping each other.
You're all hormonal.
No.
Don't forget this part. When they checked you a week later, remember they said they said we need to do a head count.
Oh no,
head count.
You know, because she had IVF.
Head count.
How many did you put in?
Embryos. Oh Jesus!
And so they called. RMA called because we needed to do a head count.
That's so weird.
I know.
There's just that's scientific with all of it.
Women need to run these things. Yeah. I mean, that'll make all the difference.
I know. Yeah. So, this cute little.
So Sarah went in after we found out that I was pregnant. So now we're both pregnant. And then a couple days later, she went in for her head count, and the head count was 2. So we were now having 3.
Okay, so did you freak out or were you happy?
I freaked out.
Okay.
She did not freak out at all.
You were psyched.
And she hadn't had her head count.
I hadn't had my head count. And
she kept saying, I hope I'm having 2, too. I hope I'm having 2. Then we'll just have 4. I want a minivan. I want to be out there.
You guys are like the gay This Is Us.
Yeah. Crap. I was like, right? Bring it on. I was actually... disappointed when I
she was
my head count.
Not.
I mean, I was excited, obviously, to have
like just one. Yeah. Just one.
Yeah, just one. That's so lame. Yeah,
she beat me.
Yeah. So no competition.
So anyway,
none.
That there was the potential, you know, because there were 8 embryos, you know, when they give you that count. Too,
yeah,
like, right. Not eight embryos.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Eight
follicles.
Yeah,
potential follicles.
Right. Oh, so there was the potential for.
So there was the potential for 8.
Holy crap.
Which would have been a little too crazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
When did your 2 reduce to 1? Like how, reduce is the wrong word because you didn't voluntarily.
Disappearing twin, they call it.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Wow. Which is very common.
Happens
and
a lot,
in my heart, don't believe that twin disappeared. It's just we got.
The other one ate it.
Times 2.
Kate is.
Kate's a Gemini. Sorry.
Well, Kate.
like a double.
Robin just.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Just ignore me. It's for the best.
She said a lot of
is just
weird
a lot. Like she's a big spirit.
Yeah.
And so I believe that.
There wasn't room for two in there.
No, there was not room.
Yeah.
There was no room for that. I mean, we all work for her here.
She's larger than life.
That's my handwriting.
Like that. We both have one of those.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
He runs the family.
If I wasn't hell-bent on also carrying, we would not have a second at this point.
Right.
Because she's a lot.
Yes.
Right? So.
Big.
Big personality.
He's big.
Mm-hmm. How was it? How was it both of you being pregnant at the same time?
That was so fun.
Was it?
Oh, it was so fun.
There was no competition there. There was no like, it's my moment. No. My feet hurt. None of that.
I never ever.
You didn't have.
By the way, felt that way.
I didn't.
No, I never felt.
You both loved pregnancy.
Yeah, I love being pregnant.
Stop.
Damn it.
Second trimester.
My first trimester was hell, though.
Mine too.
I was like metal mouth and I was nauseous.
Nauseous.
Yeah.
But I welcomed it because I was so nervous about it.
It was nasty.
Right?
Remember, chicken?
I wouldn't eat chicken through either of my pregnancies.
I couldn't eat anything.
I was like, I don't think I'm ever eating chicken again. I was like, that's just my life now.
Chicken was from hell.
And then as soon as I had the baby, I was like,
let's switch that.
Isn't it so weird?
Chicken was my enemy.
The idea of chicken.
I can't smell chicken. I can't hear the word chicken.
Ugh.
I would just gag.
Yeah.
My second trimester, I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was like I was on drugs.
But it was a very hearty laugh.
I mean, like Santa Claus.
She sounded like.
But just like inappropriate laughs. Like,
I couldn't. And
she
everything.
Couldn't stop. I would laugh so
that's
hard.
That's like an SNL sketch.
That was the downside of being pregnant together.
You were Santa.
Side note. Kate McKinnon grew up here in Seattle.
Look at right that.
I just have to say this.
And her mother still lives here.
And she's gay.
Yeah, her mother still lives
here. She's right over there.
And she visits all the time.
Well, now I'm moving.
You cannot move to Seacliff. It is bad for our podcast. It is too far.
There's interviews right here that she could be.
I'm not moving to Seacliff.
There are Kate McKinnon sightings.
This is inconvenient.
I'm going to check out houses on
our way out. Jamie, we can do a podcast together.
Yeah, we can.
Wait, what just happened?
We'll sing.
You sing? Okay, we can sing on it'll be a singing podcast.
Oh, watch out.
Yeah.
Did I just get fired?
I think you did.
I think I just got fired.
Something together. I don't know.
All right. Ooh. So, pregnant at the same time, you loved pregnancy. It was not a problem.
We gained a lot of weight.
We gained a ton of weight. We lived in New York City.
I'm still working on mine off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all? It's never been the same, but
Never will be.
I don't care anymore. Fine. Honestly, I used to care.
Good
and
for
I,
you.
Don't.
I'm trying really hard not to care.
Yeah. I spent a year trying not to care.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work.
Well, to work out like sort of what you're supposed to be based on what men expect you to be.
Right.
And sort of to unwire that from yourself after, you know, decades of living with that.
Yeah.
It takes a little time.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Because, you know, like when you're attracted to somebody, you're attracted to them. You don't care about what the body is, what the, you know?
Right.
It's a whole mind fuck.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
So who went into labor first? Like what happened?
Yeah. And how close?
So I'm going to tell you the story.
I love this.
So we had the place out here in Seacliff and we lived in New York City and our best friend Liz had moved to California. Mm-hmm. So she came back when it was time for us to like February. She was spending the month of February with us because we were due in the middle of
February.
Because
you're going to need help. Like, how are you both going
to? We had a doula. Uh-huh. We had hired a doula who actually Kristen went to school with.
Well, she was the very first lead singer of my first all-female band.
Jen. And she was our doula.
But Jen was a little bit older than us. Me. She was in high school.
Yeah.
She loves my first all-female band.
Yeah.
First.
My first. So Liz comes out. And so we come out to our Seacliff house and it's her dad's birthday. My father-in-law's, well, not at that point, we weren't married because it wasn't legal. Mm-hmm. Kristen eats more food than I think. I mean, even Aunt Ro at that point was like, Kristen, you have to stop eating. Like,
You're talking about the birthday party. My dad's birthday.
Yes. And we go back to our little Seacliff house and.
Well, it was Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was the next day.
Right.
But we were doing a pool for the Super Bowl. But then I think things turned to let's do a pregnancy pool, right?
Oh, yeah, at the party.
Yeah.
What do you mean a pregnancy?
Like who's going to go first? Boy, girl.
First?
Like a box?
I mean, how you fun guys, is
yeah.
this?
But, yeah.
This is like the Super Bowl of
pregnancy.
No
one even knew how to draw the grid. It was so complicated.
I'm sure. Wow.
You got two pregnant women and two different.
Genders or
you knew what you were each having.
We did,
so that's cool. That's fun.
I didn't want to know, but Sarah
insisted.
That was another
insisted that you know.
Yeah, well, a point of difference.
A nurse once said to me, "There are so many surprises in that delivery room, the least of which is the gender of that baby."
You know,
and I was like, That is true.
It's like, really good. It's really good.
I did it one with each way. The first one we didn't find out, and the second one we did, but mostly because we didn't want to keep being like, you can have a brother or a sister. Right, and we were like, that's stupid. But finding out with the second one over the phone was just as exciting as the first. Totally. It was, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
that's interesting.
It was.
It's so true.
We were at Burrito Bar on Flatbush.
Yeah.
I was, you know.
It's true. I agree with that.
My whole life, like, I said, I'm not going to find out. I wanted to be a surprise, but we found out for both. We found out for our first on accident because my wife saw female written on the top of a form.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I'm assuming they don't mean me because obviously I'm a female. You know, that's a given. So we found that one out.
Well done, doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I was pregnant, I really wanted two girls. I had a psychic told me years ago that I was going to have two girls. So I was sure of it. So my mind was set on it. And we found out we decided, let's just find out. Let's just see. And I'm so glad we found out because it was a boy. And I needed that time to mentally turn my head around it being a boy because I was not prepared for that.
Yeah.
I'm still working through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No, you know what a psychic told Sarah Kate?
What?
She was very confused by it, the psychic.
Oh.
And she said, you're having twins.
Oh.
But they're not exactly twins.
Oh.
And I'm not sure what that means.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's your daughter.
Yeah.
That's both of them.
Yeah.
And,
twins.
Yeah. You guys have twins.
Now the male person is here. This is insanity on stilts. I love it here.
Yeah. This isn't even it. Our landscaper's not here.
Oh,
he's always here.
Is he going to come like blow some leaves?
Like, you know, what's that? He will.
All right. Oh, so you're there's a pool. Who had the baby first?
So we got home to this little sea cliff house. Kristen was letting we only had one dog then out the back. And she said, either I peed myself or my water just broke.
I peed myself a little. And I was like, that's odd.
So then
I sat down and I was wiping and I was like, am I fully wiped? What's happening?
Oh, wow.
And it was like,
you really are.
I kept coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like coming out hard. But, no. So it was like a mystery.
There's a trickle.
A trickle.
It's a trickle. It's a trickle.
So it was like mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mystery fluid.
I wasn't sure. Because when you're that pregnant, it's like stuff's happening. It was
stuff.
Minor, but it was there. I mean, it was.
And
there.
At that point, you feel like the baby's going to fall out.
Yeah,
it's just nothing feels right at that point.
I felt like I put in two tampons. Like that's what it felt like. You know, when you screw that up.
Yeah.
You're like, what's that?
I've actually never done that. I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't think I've never done it either, but I've done that. Assumed that's what it must feel like. It just felt uncomfortable down there. Like, what's happening?
A little full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And irritating. Something was like in the canal. Felt like it was ready to be at least.
And it was an arm.
I don't know, probably a head. This kid has a bowling ball head.
Yeah.
So we're in Seacliff. The whole point of me telling you this is that we're in Seacliff. She calls the doctor and the doctor says, come in.
That's what you get for jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, no more jumping.
Oh, I'm so glad to not be reading those books anymore.
Oh, me too.
Oh, God.
I am in it still.
I'm done with animated movies in those boxes.
That Monkeys on the Bed, you know that one?
Yeah. Monkeys jumping on. Yeah. I know
they
would
get so excited.
Yeah.
So sweet.
So cute.
So we have fun with that, Jamie. Our best friend Lizzie with us, and the doctor says you have to come in. We're delivering at NYU Hospital.
In the city.
And we'll be able to determine.
It's a trauma for a hospital. I always say to women who are pregnant, look for a trauma for a hospital because it's not really about you. It's about if there's complications with the baby, you want a trauma for.
Yeah.
So anyway, I determined that that's where we were.
That's
delivering.
Where two women who are having a baby should go, or shouldn't any woman having a baby?
Oh, did I say two women having a baby? Yeah. The people having babies
should
go to a trauma for hospital.
You said two women, so I was like, that's like, it's
that's really specific. In Seacliff.
Yeah. Happened to be here in Seacliff.
Yeah.
So I have to now drive her into Manhattan.
Oh my God.
Because Lizzie is here for emotional support, but she's a terrible driver.
The worst driver.
The worst driver.
And Sarah is 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh my God. With, by the way, a transverse?
Yes, the baby was transverse.
Oh. Baby. So they were scheduling my C-section, which was really disappointing to me because the baby was laying horizontal. But we had done some crazy acupuncture with some kind of like cigar-scented looking things.
Over here, baby. Over here.
I used to have to do it around her toe because that supposedly would push the baby into position. The problem with that is I'm doing it.
Oh, you're pregnant.
And I'm, yeah. And it was creating a lot of movement in me.
Oh.
So the wow. dog stopped. So we stopped. Yeah. But we did it enough times. But it was like enough times to actually realize this is more movement than I'm used to happening.
Wow.
So there was movement going on in my belly, which is really weird.
Now your baby's Z-Cliff. Sideways, her baby's
now
right.
I have to drive. Because
oh Lizzie can't.
Yeah.
She's exactly. a horror show in the
But
in the
she's in the car with you.
She's in the
she's
car.
In the back seat.
She's in the back.
Taking care of us.
The two pregos are in the front seat. I don't like tunnels. I don't like to drive. Like if I won the lottery, the first thing I would get would be a driver.
A driver.
I'm driving us into Manhattan, 9 months pregnant like this. She's like, I think I'm giving birth. And Lizzie's in the back, just sweating.
Like, I don't sound like that.
No, you don't. So,
I'm longer than birth. I think I'm giving birth.
She's like Fat Albert. Like, hey, 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 hey.
Kristen records every nook and cranny of every slight pain or discomfort. So you're getting a play-by-play.
Yeah, I don't like discomfort.
Not at all.
She I don't either.
Do well.
I don't either, yeah. I mean, most people don't, but I don't suffer well.
Yeah.
I'm silently. Feeling pain.
This is hurting.
More like it.
Yeah.
I don't think any... I'm in pain.
My butt hurts. Yeah.
So I'm literally, I'm now driving through the Manhattan Tunnel. Manhattan Midtown Tunnel.
She's made up a tunnel.
Yeah. I'm driving through and Kristen is, you know, giving me a play-by-play of how she's feeling. Lizzie's in the back just sweating.
Oh, my God.
Poor Lizzie.
Lizzie's, oh my God. Yeah. Lizzie's so not helpful.
She is in so many
we
ways.
We love you, Lizzie. We love you.
Lizzie's I don't even know Liz, the band's tour manager for years. You might know Liz.
Like maybe, yeah.
You actually do know Liz.
I mean, there's I'm no sure doubt. We spent many times in Henrietta's yes. together.
So absolutely.
She was the band's tour manager for years.
So I'm driving in the tunnel, don't like the tunnel, and all of a sudden, all of that acupuncture comes into play.
Stop,
and the baby,
literally.
It's like an alien is in my belly,
Stop.
And the baby starts moving. And
this
I'm
is
in.
True.
This is so true. It's
oh
like you
God.
Can't make, like you if
can't
you wrote
make
it.
Up. No.
They'd be like,
did write
those
it.
Guys are a sitcom.
Yeah, they'd be like, guys, that's too much.
You like, are the gay,
so
this is us.
And I'm like, the baby's moving, the baby's moving.
And I was like, no, it's not. I thought she was talking to me. I'm like, that's not what I'm complaining about.
And I was like, no, my
she's like,
stomach.
Oh, my butt hurts.
My stomach,
I'm
my
driving.
Stomach, what's happening? She's screaming as she's driving,
oh my God.
Entering the Midtown Tunnel. And I swear to God, she takes both her hands off the wheels
oh,
and it's like, has them on the roof. And she's like, ah, oh! And then she's like, she's like, that baby just moved. It flipped into position.
It flipped in, and it did.
It did.
And oh,
it
my
turns
God.
Out we got into the hospital, and NYU.
She's like, can you check me?
NYU, obviously. Anywhere we went, it was like the red carpet. Like,
yeah.
Whenever we walked into RMA, right. too, they're, here they are. You know, anytime we came in. Yeah. So whenever we, NYU.
Because you're on the pamphlet, probably.
Everybody knew us, yeah. yeah. At NYU, they were just waiting. So in we walk, and they're like, which one is it? You know, who's in labor?
You're like, I'm not sure.
And so we said, I think I am. And we think that the transverse position just shifted.
Oh
so
God.
They're like, we'll check you both. So we both got up on these tables.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we're both lying there. And the woman
oh
says,
God.
We're going to swab you. And she's yeah. like, and if it's purple, you're not going home.
Right. Yeah.
You're
yeah.
having a baby.
Right.
And so.
What's the purple? Is that like for amniotic fluid?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
They
have a
because once your water breaks, right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They don't want to check you too much and either yeah. after yeah. your water's broken. They're just going to
yeah.
do that swab.
You get that
one.
Infection.
Yeah, they don't want infection.
That's
the worst. They were doing that though. When you're in labor, they're checking how much yeah. you dilated. That
yeah.
I was like, stop. Checking. Yeah. Just stop doing that to me.
You're hurting me.
Yeah. Adam, stop. Anyway, so Sarah Kate laid down too, and they checked her quickly. And all they had to do was feel her stomach,
yeah.
you know. And they were like,
yep.
"Yeah, that baby moved into
you
position."
You can cancel the C-section.
So they canceled
wow.
her C-section.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing,
right? Yeah.
Isn't so you ended up going natural.
A little stress in a Midtown Tunnel.
It just
you can
takes
get any transverse
just,
baby into position.
I think there you go. Smell of the Midtown Tunnel put Kate right into the proper
there
position.
There you go.
And also maybe your wife also having a baby.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like all those things together.
Yeah.
So if you can
if
do
you
that.
If you can do that, then yeah. you can move the baby.
The perfect
you
storm.
Could cancel your C-section.
Yeah. So then they swabbed me and she held it up and it was purple. As purple can be.
Wow.
She's like, you're not going home tonight.
She said it with that sultry voice.
She signed a deal.
She said it like it was a horror film. I'm going to kill you.
You're staying with me. You're staying here.
While your pregnant wife is in another room.
She sounded nothing like that at all. She was like,
she was like, room 402, check. Yeah.
So it was late at night already. It was probably midnight by then.
11-ish, yeah. Yeah,
it was. But it was like, crap, so, like, now we're going to do this? I want to go to sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited about going to bed.
You were excited about going to the movies.
You're pregnant.
Oh, that's the other thing.
Yeah. So I missed the movies.
I was finally finished with work. It was my first day on maternity leave. I had 2 weeks.
Where that 2 weeks, where
we
was your last 2 weeks?
Until Valentine's Day. Mm. Yeah, around Valentine's
and
Day.
And that day, I should have known because we got into an argument. We never fight. We're not fighters.
And we got into an argument over McDonald's or getting our nails done.
Oh, yeah. Like you do.
Yeah. Because you do.
She was like, we need to have our nails done. If we go into labor.
And you wanted to go to McDonald's?
I feel like the fight's going to be rehashed right here.
I wanted an Egg McMuffin and I wanted to shop for mattresses for the nursery.
Oh.
And you were like, they're not even going to be in those cribs until they're 3 months old. Mm. Bah, bah, bah. So you wanted to get your nails done. And so we did both, though.
We did McDonald's and nails.
It was the nails. You wanted McDonald's, too. You wanted to get our nails done and I wanted to go shop for mattresses.
That's what it
and
is.
You won.
I did.
Yeah. Poor Liz dropped her cell phone into the bowl, into the foot basin bowl at the...
Oh, no. Poor Liz.
Yeah, so her phone
had a rough day.
And all she was trying to do is be helpful.
Yeah.
And she flew
poor
in
Lizzie.
To help
us
from L.A. Oh, Lizzie.
Yes, she used to run out once the babies were born, too. She would run out and get us tucks. Remember?
Needing
them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a C-section.
Yeah.
Lizzie's
shining moment was supposed to be the night Kristen was in labor. Lizzie went back to our apartment to take care of our dog. And, right? And so, so Lizzie was with the dogs. With the dog. No, she was actually at the hospital.
She stayed for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, and then she was to sleep with the dog, Tucker, who is her best friend. I mean, she's such a dog person. She, like, they love her. So all happens. We have a new baby. The strangest feeling is going through labor and delivery with your wife and leaving still pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like
a
bizarre
you're going to have to do this all over again.
Well, this is after the baby was born, you left.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so Lizzie, I get home and Liz is like, oh, I said, can we, it was Super Bowl Sunday. Thomas was born on Super Bowl Sunday. So I get home and I'm like, let's just order from a deli and like watch the Super Bowl or do whatever. So I want to know who wins today because it's my son's birthday.
Yeah. And Kristen and Thomas are still in the hospital.
Yes. Yeah.
And watching the Super Bowl.
Watching the Super Bowl as well. And so we order whatever. And Lizzie says, well, I do need to tell you what happened last night. And I said,
oh, no.
What happened last night? She said, well, I had to take Tucker to the emergency vet, which happened to be right across the street because
that's convenient.
Lizzie left out her Benadryl.
Oh, no.
And Tucker ate them all. So Tucker had to get his stomach pumped we were at. Do you even remember this?
I remember this vaguely.
It's like such a blur.
That's horrible.
It's so she was like panicked about that.
Oh,
my God.
It was
a perfect storm.
How much later was it when you had your baby?
So she gave birth to Thomas on February 1st. I gave birth to Kate on February 24th.
Oh, so there was some time.
Literally.
The longest 3 weeks.
You were late.
I went into lockdown after being in that delivery room and witnessing.
Witnessing what went
down. Oh, that's awful.
You had natural, all that. You were down there. You saw it all.
Why
did
you
do that? You were traumatized.
Why did I do that?
I think my body was.
Yeah.
It's
scary.
Is it a choice? Do you get to choose?
The epidural? No, the epidural.
Oh, I had an epidural. She had an epidural. I didn't have an epidural. I held off.
I didn't want to have one, but then I had
thought I didn't. Oh, I wanted it all day long.
I thought I didn't want to have one until I was like, oh, I want to have one.
Especially if you're a person who doesn't like pain.
Well,
I know that
about
myself.
I wasn't dilating. And so that was an issue. Mm-hmm. And they kept checking.
Right.
And I didn't want them to touch me anymore.
Right.
I was like, stop checking.
Yeah.
Right. So they said, we need to start Pitocin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I don't. Just do it, and I'll do the Pitocin without the epidural. I can't do an epidural.
Right. No.
Well, they hooked me up to that
as soon as you started feeling that, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh my. It was literally like
I mean, excruciating. It was like a speeding train ripping through my chest. I was like, you gotta
do something about that.
What are you doing to my body? Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah. That was horrifying.
It hurts.
It was horrifying.
When I had my second, they had to induce and they were like, so we're going to give you the Pitocin now. They're like, do you want the epidural now? And I was like, is there a reason not to? I was like, it's going to hurt, right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, so give it to me now. And they were like, kind of like tootie with me. And I was like, what do you, I was like, put it in.
Drug addict.
I was like, what?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I want to feel an ounce of this.
So I was already hooked up to the Pitocin for an hour or so before they gave me the epidural. And then they were like, well, it's going to be hard to put the epidural in now that you're on the Pitocin.
That's what I did too. I did it the same way. I was trying not to.
They were like, you have to stay very still. And I mean,
I did do that too.
Can stay still while the freight train is blowing through your
body. They
have
no feeling for you. They really don't care that you're in pain. Because I guess they see it so much.
Yeah, they're desensitized.
Just breathe, mom. Just breathe.
I'm trying to fucking breathe.
Yeah, like, mom. Don't even.
Yeah, don't call me mom. We're not friends.
You're doing good, mom. Just breathe. Just breathe. Like, shut up.
Mom.
Yeah,
you're doing good. So let's skip forward a little bit. Yeah. And when you hear, how has it been past conception? how has it been? You know, is it just been like having twins and that's your normal? And that's like, do you call them twins? Like, what's
we do call them twins.
We call them twins.
We call them twins. But we always, for people who have had twins, especially carried twins, we always say like, but we realize that they're not, because I think that's a whole different experience carrying twins.
But you did raise two children at the exact same
time. Yeah, same grade, same life.
Yes. Which is, you know, a lot of work. Twins are a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because
I can
imagine. I didn't realize it. I kind of only realized it recently, which is that there is no relief at any given moment. Like, I see my friends who have 10-year-olds and 4-year-olds, and you've got a 10-year-old helping with the 4-year-old. Like, that difference in age actually is very helpful.
Yeah.
But I was looking at it also as an efficiency. It's like, when we're out of diapers, we're done.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to go back. I don't want to look back. We're done.
That's what they say the beauty of twins is.
In a lot of ways, I mean, the dream would probably be, I mean, not that I don't love that we have a boy and a girl, but if you have two boys or two girls who are the same age, it's like, we're taking them both to soccer. Now they have
They can
this.
Do the same thing. In theory.
There's more hope that they might.
Can share a room their whole lives.
Yeah. Well, so you know, Thomas and Kate shared a room until very recently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's my plan, because I live in
They
homes.
Loved being in the same room. They wanted to be in the same room.
Good.
Yeah, Kate and Thomas shared bunk beds. Kate always had, there's you know, two bedrooms for them, but they shared Thomas's room, and then Kate had her room. But she would sleep with Thomas in his room, because he was scared at night.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
sweet.
He would stay in, she would sleep in there with him.
Aww.
They would do their homework together in there, and then, like, her bedroom was sort of set up as her, like, walk-in closet.
I want to talk about when you're ready, but I want to talk about, we talked a little on the phone about, like, the GLAAD vision about, like, representation of our families in the media. So, like, I think that'd be an interesting thing to chat about.
Sure. I think that's really interesting. You know, I was down in Atlanta last week, and I was talking about representation, and I told a story about how, you know, I live LGBTQ all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And here we are in our little adorable, quaint village.
You're in the bubble.
Yes. However, you know, at one point, my kids and I were watching a Disney show, and one of the girls, all of a sudden, like, in the dialogue, one of the girls said, well, my two moms.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids instantly perked up and said, just like us. And I thought, well, you know, I couldn't believe the impact that it had on them, considering the life that we live.
Right.
And that, but then I realized, as I started thinking about it, like, they live in a really straight world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there are other families here. Don't get me wrong. There's probably 5 or 6, but every day is straight. Mm-hmm. Every day in
every
way.
Especially on TV and the movies.
Yep. And so.
And 9 out of 10 parents are straight. Yeah. And, you know.
So I didn't realize how, you know, how powerful even. And I thought, if for my family.
Yeah.
To
who's really all up
way.
In it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Representation, like, is everything.
It is everything. I don't think any of us would be where we were today without representation, the brave souls that stepped out first.
Yeah.
Truly.
And so I think you know, we're releasing next week our Where We Are on TV report in LA, which we do on an annual basis, where we look at representation on television. And then usually in May or June, we do our Studio Responsibility Index, where we look at the major studios and where the representation is. What I'm most excited for is that we're also doing, just like we do in Hollywood, for Silicon Valley. Social media, media platforms. If you think about that explosion and being able, so many LGBTQ kids go there and then they get bullied, or what you see a lot of is like these young LGBTQ creators and they have conversion therapy commercials running on their content. It's nuts.
It is nuts.
Yeah. So we're working on that right now.
That's really cool.
But representation, I agree with you, really matters.
So much.
And, you know, even like we started earlier talking about, even in our community where we live, and we're super visible and not shy at all about coming out on a daily basis and having to, it's part of who we are and what we do. But my kids still have derogatory things said to them and whatnot. And so I think that when we see, when we're able to see more representation, it really does change hearts.
It changes everything. I think you guys have to pitch your own TV show because you truly are the
Jamie and I
gay
are actresses.
This Is Us. Or you can be like the modern day Kate and Allie, but you're married.
Oh my God, Kate and Allie.
They should have been gay. Why weren't they gay anyway?
Because they couldn't be gay back then. Nobody would have watched it.
So we, I think
they did one episode where they pretended to be gay.
Oh my God.
The landlord or something. I
Kate
remember.
And Allie?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was obsessed with that show.
I
love Jane Curtin so much.
Oh, so much.
No, I liked.
Me too.
I mean, you want to make out with Susan St. James, but you want to hang out with Jane Curtin.
Susan St. James.
Thank you.
Susan St. James. Thank you.
Well, I mean,
this has been
This has been fantastic. I mean, we did a lot of things.
Did we get what you needed?
We did. We covered a lot of ground. We loved everything that you said.
And thank you for coming out here. I know this was like a pain in the butt.
We're taking you on a tour of Seacliff right now.
Yeah.
Okay. This has been fun.
We're not moving to Seacliff.
I might be. Yeah.
Oh my God, Jamie, we did it.
Oh my goodness, they are fun.
Oh my God, we're back in the car, and now we're driving home.
We're in the car. Everything's on the road today. On the road again.
That was mayhem. There was dogs, there was kids coming in and out. There was the TV.
Robin, you with the dogs is hilarious.
Because the dog just kept trying to get on my lap, and the dog was literally licking my hand for like 10 minutes, and I was just like, I just
keep looking at your face like, uh-oh, she's having dog.
I was like, why is this dog? I was like, either sit on my lap.
They're so cute, those little dogs.
Oh, they were cute.
Oh, man.
But I mean,
that was fun.
I could have talked to them for like 7 more hours.
I know. We got so off track so many times.
We did.
Because they're fun to talk to.
Well, that was great.
So fun.
Uh-oh, are we going to hit something now? All right, hold on.
Oh, there's a vegan place right here. I should move here.
Okay, so Jamie's moving to Seacliff.
Look at this cute little green house. It's so cute.
We need to take some pictures of Seacliff, and we'll share them on our social media. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Before we say goodbye to you, you guys, we told you we have an update from Tiff and Chris, so why don't we just play it?
Let's first play the ditty, and then let's play Tiff and Chris.
Let's get that ditty in. Tiff and Chris are having a baby.
Hey, it's Carissa and Tiffany.
And Tiffany and Carissa.
We just wanted to give you all a quick update on where we're at. Thanks for reaching out and asking for an update.
We're so excited.
Super excited about the new season.
Yeah.
New season, and we've been listening to every episode so far.
Yeah.
Really loving it. So really happy to keep being a part of it. So we wanted to give you all a quick update on what we're doing. We've had a few attempts at conceiving,
but we ran into some fertility stuff, infertility stuff to be clear. So we visited a fertility clinic and
got to weigh all of our options therein.
Yeah, definitely.
Ooh, they weigh a lot.
For sure. It's kind of like, you know, for the low cost of $599,000 a month.
For the next 87 years of your life.
You too can be a mom and carry a baby. Yay!
So all of that to say, we are currently, our focus and where we're leaning in is with our continued journey into being licensed to be foster parents. Tiffany and I have both really had this on our hearts for years and years. We've both thought about this individually and together now. And so we are going through that process. We've been through some of the trainings. We have
all of the trainings. Woo. Oh, there were so many. And now we're moving into the last stages. Our first home study is this week. So that's really exciting.
Yeah,
they're going to take magnifying glass to our lives.
And our home.
So we better hide all the cocaine.
Okay.
I'm kidding. We don't have cocaine. Oh, my God.
Never. They're not going to look up this podcast.
They're going to look up this podcast. Anyway, okay.
And also, on another exciting front, is that we are going to launch our own podcast.
Yay!
You might notice that this sound quality is a lot better than your last few updates from us. And that is because we are in an actual studio where we just got done.
We fancy now.
Yeah, we just got done recording the preview and the first episode of our podcast, which is going to be called Baby Mama Brunch. Where we're going to talk about, you know, our baby mama journey.
Yep.
And food, because both of those are...
We're obsessed with both of those things.
Duh. So we're excited that we get to update you still.
And we hope some of y'all will tune in, or all of you all. If you don't, you're racist. So I'm kidding. We love you. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that's Tiff and Chris.
I mean, I have to tell you, I did not.
Cute house,
I did not see the foster care thing coming. Did you see that?
No.
I thought when they said they wanted to send an update, I thought, oh, one of them's pregnant.
I thought so too.
Wow. Shocked.
Throwing us for a loop again, that Tiff and Chris.
And starting their own podcast.
Yeah, so, you know.
All right, sounds like awesome. You're going to get to hear more of the Tiff and Chris journey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you missed them, go on back to season 3 and you can hear all of Tiff and Chris.
They're all over there. So let's keep this conversation going, friends. You can hit us up on the social.
Mm-hmm.
We are on Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk. We also have a private Facebook group in there.
We sure do. And we're on Instagram at @ovaries_talk.
And Twitter at @ovaries_talk.
And you can just old school email us your story ideas or tell us that you like us. Don't tell us you don't like us.
We don't want to hear that.
At ovariestalk@gmail.com.
And then also join our Patreon community.
Yes. Oh, we did some extra content talking about this foundation they have called Girls Rising. So if you want to hear all about that, and they have a festival. Oh my God, they're talking about that for a while on our Patreon community. Yeah, so come over
check
there.
It out. And there's some good, and there's that's some it. Fun, dumb stuff over there.
Patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Okay. Well, you guys, this has
been fun. We're still
on the road. I'm going to make more of a story on the Instagram about this crazy day. All right, without further ado,
eggs, ovaries, out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.